everyone, welcome back to Broken to Barbell. As always, this is Tanner.
This is Sam.
And this is Carly.
And here we are. But we also have a guest with us today, a friend of ours for a long time, probably, what, the late 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah, late 90s. And her name is?
My name is Markia Hart, but everybody calls me Kia.
Yay. Thank you for coming.
No problem. Yeah. Anytime.
Because it's, this, you know, high profile, so.
I know. I feel so elite.
This is high profile for us, so here we are. So today we're going to talk a lot about Markia's brand, her moving around the continental United States.
Pretty much.
And little things like that. So let's get started. What do you say?
So real quick, before we dive into the Kia thing, we just wanted to update everyone on where we're at and like what's going on in our lives. We've been trying to post a little bit more on social media so you can see more from each of us. So Sam, you want to give us a little backstory on how everything's going?
Yeah, about 7 months in, I decided to start going back to the gym. And I feel great. Like, it feels awesome to be back in the gym, but obviously I can't do anything heavy, so I'm just going light and a lot of reps, but it just feels nice to be back.
I've seen some of your stuff online because, like, you at the gym trying to go crazy with a full-blown seven months?
Yeah.
7 months stomach, so.
I get lots of looks.
And that's the, what is that, a YMCA?
Yeah.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's entertaining.
In rural Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Can I ask something?
Yeah.
Like, is it recommended to work out while you're pregnant?
Yeah, basically, if you go the whole time, like, if you go from beginning of your pregnancy, you can lift as much as you want. But since I haven't been, I just kind of, like, go in and do a little lightweight stuff like that. But pretty much you're fine. Not, they say to stay away from, like, doing crunches and stuff like that because, you know, you don't want to smash the baby or something.
Yeah, of course. Don't want to do that.
But yeah.
Yeah, and when I was back when I was doing CrossFit, girls at our CrossFit gym would do CrossFit right up until, like, their due date.
Yeah.
Like, the day of, they would be doing a workout, and then the next day they'd have the kid. So, like, I think as long as you're
maintaining your level.
If you don't just, like, get pregnant and then you're like, I'm going to start CrossFit, you know? Yeah. Like, I think that's a good idea. Like, I think doctors are okay with it, but... So I was at the hair salon today, and one of the girls that does hair there works out at Sally's Fitness, where I work out. And I was like, I haven't seen you in a while. And she's not noticeably pregnant, so I didn't know that she was pregnant. And then I, like, heard her talking, and she was like, yeah, I tried to work out, but I, like, just kept feeling like I was going to throw up. So I'm just going to stick to, like, yoga and calm exercises for now. So I think every person's different on how they...
Well, that's what kind of stopped you, Sam, was bad morning sickness, right?
Yeah. I was like, throw up and go to the gym or just stay home and throw up. So I'll just stay home.
I'm just going to stay at home. Yeah. I haven't worked out a lot at all because I was moving, so.
Yeah, and we're currently recording from Tanner's new oasis in Shadyside. It's an amazing apartment. Tanner's living the life. But that's okay. I mean, you'll get
above my means, yeah.
We just passed the Fitness Factory on the way over here. You can work out there.
Is that over on Walnut?
No, it's on
Factory. What's that?
Highland, South Highland.
Oh, maybe? Okay, yeah.
Over by Mad Max.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
yeah,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Right road.
No, yeah, it's South Highland.
Tanner just got a promotion.
Yes, I did.
That he didn't even announce to us. I heard it from a guy at my gym. I was like, good for Tanner. He didn't even tell us.
I got a promotion at work, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
But now that I moved here, it's like, okay, no more excuses. I need to, like, start meal prepping again and, like, get into things. And then, of course, I got here and my stove didn't work. So that was just a blatant excuse. Because, of course, the microwave doesn't work when the stove doesn't work, right? So it was a blatant excuse to just order takeout for an entire week. And my bank account hates me, so it's fine.
That's okay.
Everything's fine.
You'll get back on track.
Yeah.
So currently 7 weeks out from my powerlifting meet. It's March 24th, and I'm trying to not be nervous, but I'm getting a little nervous. And I told myself I wasn't going to weigh myself. I think I said that on our last podcast.
I think so, yeah.
So I went like a month and a half without weighing myself, and I was like feeling good and looking good, and I felt like I was doing good, but I weighed myself last week and my weight's up. So that was a little disheartening, but I guess the whole muscle weighs more than fat thing, but it's still hard to like wrap my head around. And I've been like super hard on myself. Like I'm not going out to eat. Like I turned down dinner invitations and everything and cut out all the good food, and I'm drinking a gallon of water a day. So like just trying to stick to it and not get discouraged, I guess, is my current predicament. But
mode of thought. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it has to be hard because it's, well, watching you do it is what's kind of like, okay, I'm in the new place. I actually have a human-sized kitchen now that I can cook in, so I need to at least try, if anything else, save money.
Yeah.
You know, but also eat healthier, so.
It's tough. I need to
put more than a bottle of water in your fridge?
Yeah, and condiments. This is like bottle of water, a six-pack of beer.
Ketchup.
And, like, cheese singles. American cheese singles.
So that's pretty much an update on all of us, so let's just go right into our Kia.
What was that?
I don't know. Some weird ghost noise just happened back there. So Kia, all right, will you give us a little bit of a background on like where you were born, where you grew up?
Who is just give us Markia
the whole
Hart?
Give us the whole rundown.
Okay. Well, I'm originally from Pittsburgh, born and raised until I was about 9, and you guys all know lovely Janet Blair Raybould. She
Hi,
remarried.
Janet.
She's a saint.
My mother, this is a hidden fact, is obsessed with Tanner. Anytime she sees Tanner, like on Facebook, she'll text me like, Tanner's looking, you know, real good today, Kia. And my mom's been married for like 20 years, but she remarried and we moved up to a place called Kennerdale, which only the people in this room would probably know where Kennerdale is, you know, located. And I went to AC Valley. And after I graduated from AC Valley in 08, I went to Edinburgh for broadcast journalism. And after I finished at Edinburgh, I had like that moment where I was like, I don't want to go back to Kennerdale. Like, I don't want to go back to our area. And I'm not saying that our area is not great because I love the country. I love everything about it. But what I wanted to do, I wanted to be on the news or something on the lines of being in entertainment or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, there's nothing up there for me. And I had like this great panic where I was just like, I can't go back. So my uncle, my dad's younger brother, my uncle Marvin, has been telling me since before I even went to college. He was like, come to DC, come to DC. I'm like, I'm not coming to DC. I'm not going to leave my mom and Albert. But as soon as I had graduated, my mom's like, I got the room next door in the summer house. So I'll set up for you. And at the time, Mark, my older brother, was living there. I was like, I'm not going back and living with these people. Like, I can't. So I called my uncle immediately and I'm just sobbing. And I'm not one for like big sob stories or crying or anything like that. I'm just in my house that I lived in at Edinburgh and I'm just crying. I'm like, I called him. I'm like, can I come stay with you and Philip? Like, please, like, I'll do whatever I have to do, like, to prove that, like, whatever. He's like, sweetie. He was like, come on down. And I stayed at Edinburgh for another month. I was a waitress at Perkins. Saved up my money. I went home for, like, a week. Packed up everything. My little Mac that I had. Like,
hi, Mom. Bye, Mom.
Pretty much. And she was, like, devastated because she, like, set up the room and, like, was all excited for me to, like, be at home and just be her little assistant. I'm like, no. So I packed up and left Kennerdale and I went to D.C. Literally enough stuff to, like, you know, fit into my mom's little truck that she had. And I was there for 5 years and I worked literally a whole bunch of different jobs. Like, you name it, I worked it. And I started at a marketing agency. Like, when I first got there, I was there for about 2 months and I couldn't find like a steady job because I'm like, yes, I have this degree that I paid for and I'm in, you know, a little bit of debt because I had scholarships and everything through Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. And finally, I found a job. I worked at this talent marketing agency called Interface, which was good and bad. We ended up on Dateline in the end. And like, pretty much they were trying to inspire people to be like models and everything. And it just wasn't that whatsoever. It wasn't close to it, but I
good made, bad. We ended up on Dateline.
Yeah, we ended up on Dateline. Like that the guy like walked out, was like, welcome to Dateline. I'm like, oh crap. Like, shit. But I was working various jobs and I met great people. I started networking and like hosting events and I became like super depressed because down in DC it's a lot of competition. There's a lot of Markias down there and I had changed my whole career aspect. I was like, I want to be on the news. And I did the news. I was a junior anchor up in Erie, Pennsylvania on Jet 24. And I just really didn't like it. So I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to get into marketing. Yeah. And that was my minor, was music and marketing and public relations. And I was at this really crappy place. I had interned at Sirius XM. I was like, I have all the credentials to work at a place that should be paying me enough money. And DC is very expensive. Like, my highest rent was like $1,300 for like a one bedroom. So when, like,
and you lived in Montgomery County too,
didn't you? I lived in one of the richest counties in America. So it was very expensive. I did live with my uncle, like back and forth, him and his partner, Philip, and they were such a great support and everything, but I wanted my own, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not cute when you're trying to date and like you're going to your
and here
uncles
are
and his partner.
Uncles.
Like, hello, my 6'7" uncles. Here we go. But I was at this like really shitty job down in DC. The people like just really didn't appreciate my craft. So I was just sitting there and I was like, I'm going to quit. So I'm just sitting at my office. I'm like, I'm just going to leave this place right now. I got up.
Like, wait, that's like the Octavia's or not. Who is it on How to Get Away with Murder? Viola Davis.
Yeah.
She just grabs her purse, like turns around and like leaves.
Yeah. Cause like, I was just so unhappy. And I had like this like spiritual like awakening where like I forgot where I went. I think I like went home and my mom just like taught me like all this like great advice. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to actually listen to you, Jan Jan. And I'm going to take your advice. So I was just sitting there like on the verge of just crying. And I'm like, girl, bitch, get up. You're not going to do this to yourself. You're not going to be depressed.
Yeah.
Whatever. And I left. And like, I just left the city and I was like, what did I just do? I left the job. Like, I was just like, I quit.
Leave DC at that point?
No, I didn't leave DC. Like, I traveled all around with the first job I had at the horrible marketing agency.
Yeah.
But they had me all over the East Coast. Like, I did travel and meet and network with people. And that's why I wanted to get into social media. So I was just like, social media is popping. Like, it's great. Like, I'm learning so many things. So when I did quit, I got a little hosting job at this little place called Oymel. And I was hosting there, like a restaurant. It was like a restaurant where all the celebrities would go to and stuff. So I was making okay money. But I started my own business. I went and got my EIN. I just like registered myself. So I was just like, okay, no one's gonna want to hire me.
Yeah. What,
you know, and
what was your, did you have a name for your business?
It's just everything. The brand is Miss Kia. Everybody's always called me Miss Kia. Like, it just flowed. So I always just kept it around. So when I registered, I was just like, you know what? Let me just get the brand Miss Kia. So I had started putting things up on Craigslist, LinkedIn. I'm like, no one's going to like hire me, this new social media and marketing girl that has no credentials, no clients, no nothing. All I could show was like, I know how to work Photoshop a little bit and I can make you a website maybe. So this place called Inside Higher Education answered one of my ads. And I'm like, okay, this has to be like a startup. And Inside Higher Education has like 500,000 followers like on Instagram and everywhere. So they were just like, can you do our social media? And I'm just like, are you shitting me? And they're like, you don't have to come in. You don't have to do whatever. Like, you know, this is what you do. And we'll pay you every week. We'll send you a check in the mail. You don't even have to come in. And soon after that, I was still working at the restaurant to make enough money because I was still living with my uncle.
Yeah.
And all that money started to add up and they started to refer me to all these different businesses. So I left my uncle's and I just started getting more clientele. I worked for a guy that was a chiropractor and everything and did his social media. And then I just started going to different schools. I worked at a place called NASPA that was paying me like really like great money and just established my brand. And
all a social media
just
poster manager. Like, what did you, so what did you do in like, what was your, how would you like define the role?
So pretty much I was a social media specialist. And if you needed more customers or clientele or people just to notice your brand, I would promote that, whether making flyers or making like editing little videos for you and just pretty much being your hype man. Like, I'm the person that if you're on Facebook and say that you're shopping on Forever 21 and then you go to Facebook and they show the same boots or skirt or whatever, and it pops up on your feed and you're like, well, how the hell did that end up here?
Yeah.
I'm that person that would force that traffic to make sure that you didn't forget to buy that product.
So you were like working into promoted content and stuff like that?
Okay. Exactly. And you would see like, if you were like into education, and that's what I was predominantly working in, was higher education with like people that were you know, looking for colleges or trying to continue their education. And I also did it for an entertainer. Her name is Mona Disa. And she's pretty popular down in D.C.
Uh-huh.
She's awesome. So I was helping out with her brand and promoting her as well. And it just all really depends. I made websites for people. And it just really all depends on what your business wants and everything. But I'm that annoying person that reminds you to make sure you get your stuff. And you'll see those annoying advertisements.
And the scheduled posts and all
that.
Yeah,
scheduled posts and pretty much just your hype man, but behind the scenes.
Okay, cool. And then, you're getting hired by people and you moved out on your own.
Yeah, and I started to travel. That's that whole thing like started. I never would have thought that I would be able to like save enough money and everything. And granted, like I said, like I was staying with my uncle and everything. So he helped brand that. He was like, well, sweetie, like you're here, you're young.
Yeah.
You don't have any children yet. Like just go and just travel and get it over with. Cause when you do settle down, you want to be you and be with your family. So that's where the whole I had another like sit down with myself and like meditated like in my room. I was like, I'm just gonna travel. So like I have these moments with myself that I'm just like, you know, humming in my room pretty much, just like I'm gonna do this. And yeah, that's when I just started traveling out of like nowhere.
So that was while you were still in DC?
Yeah, still in D.C. That's when I first started. I mean, I traveled here and there when I was younger, but nothing like on my own. And my boyfriend at the time, he was just like, well, I'll support, you know, you traveling. And I want to go to certain places, too. So the first place, it started in Puerto Rico. And that was like one of the first times that I traveled out of the country, I think, as an adult.
Yeah.
Like, technically not by myself, but like on my own and be able to fund it on my
own. Yeah.
Yeah. And then
is that where the picture of you on a jet ski came from?
That one. I will never jet ski ever again in my life. Don't do it. I advise everyone never to jet ski.
I did it once and it was terrifying.
It was terrifying. And I fell too. I hate it. I absolutely hate like skiing. And my boyfriend just like, he was just had the greatest time, like left me and everything. Like he was just like, they'll teach you how to like jet ski. And then they're like, okay, after the little lesson, you can go on your own. Just make sure you're like, you're responsible. As soon as the guy was like, go, Cameron just like, and just like left me. So I'm like, okay, this is great. I'm in the middle of the ocean, just like screaming at the top of my lungs, just going back and forth. Just, I wish that I had the commentary for that. Cause I was just a mess. I was just crying, sobbing. It was.
Didn't you say that you were like puttering along like an old lady in like a Walmart on a scooter? You
exactly.
were just like 2 miles an hour. Just.
And you can't like do that on a jet ski because you feel all the like waves and everything. And there would be times where I would have like a road rage like moment. I was like, yeah, like YOLO. But no, it didn't really like last more than like 5 seconds.
It was a fleeting moment.
Yeah. So after that, I went to Belize and we like stayed in the jungle and I had another like meditation like moment where I like began to love the universe and everything. And Belize is wonderful. I mean, I advise everybody to go to Belize because they speak English. There's no language barrier. And one American U.S. dollar is $2 down there.
Oh.
So you're like rich.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Wow. Yeah.
So we were there for almost about a week and a half and it was just enlightening and it's literally paradise.
That's awesome.
So, and I was just traveling because I had there was other companies that were in different states like New York. So I was able to like go there and travel and everything. And yeah, so I've just been all over.
You did those both with your boyfriend at the time?
No, Cameron was just Puerto Rico.
Just Puerto Rico.
But then I have a really good girlfriend that lives up in New York City. Her name is MJ, and she's like my travel buddy. And we worked together at Interface, that first place that I was telling you about.
Uh-huh.
And she's just like my travel buddy. She'll just text me and be like, you want to go to Rome? I'm like, okay, we'll go to Rome.
Did you go to Rome?
I did go to Rome.
She just got back, right?
Yeah, I went
really?
The end of November.
Yeah.
Oh. And it was literally, I could live in Rome. I really could live there. It was absolutely amazing. But normally, a lot of people ask, like, how do you finance the trips? How do you get there. Like, literally, I say that I'm broke, but like, I'm broke to everyone, but I'm not broke to myself.
Exactly.
So, you know, like, sometimes I would sacrifice, like, right now, my nails are like all messed up, but I would sacrifice getting my hair done. I would sacrifice like not going out and eating or going out and doing certain things to save up for my trips. I would sacrifice a lot of things. I love clothes. I like wearing different color like hair and like going to concerts and things like that. I literally will go ghost. If somebody tells me like, hey, let's go to the other side of the country, I'll be like, well, I just disappear because you need to save. Even though like most of the flights were cheap. And for me to go to Rome, I paid less than I think $500 for like trip and staying. And you know,
was it like an all-inclusive type of thing?
No, like MJ found the tickets just on like a cheap site. And then we used Airbnb. So there, and then I think $550 for flight and for my Airbnb. And then when we got there, I had my spending money and everything. But I literally sacrificed like my first trip when we went to Belize. And I was like living my little apartment, you know, that was $1,300 a month for a one bedroom.
Yeah.
And I was sacrificing certain things. I love food. Like I love cooking and like trying out new expensive stuff. Like I'll go buy a duck or something and be like, ooh, gourmet. I stopped all that. So I was like literally like eating like rice and beans, because I think that every woman should be able to go and travel and just like have that moment to like see what's out there and be able to experience like other cultures. Yeah. So I don't want to be like here just like ignorant to the fact and like not be able to, you know,
like expand your horizons.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
And just be, you know, kind of like sheltered. So I've always wanted to travel, and I've always been told to travel because some of my family have never even left United States before. So I want to be able to tell like my kids, if I do have kids, like, hey, mom was here, I was here.
Here.
Yeah.
And so here's the picture on the jet ski to prove it.
Exactly. So I just want to be able to give that experience. Also tell like girls that think that they can't travel because of certain things, like, hey, you can. Like, it doesn't, like, I'm a broke girl. Like, I support everything that I do. I support my whole entire brand. Like, I support myself. I do everything on my own. Now, granted, like, I have a great mom and dad and I have a supportive family, but my mom doesn't pay my rent.
Yeah.
Albert doesn't pay this and they don't pay that. So I just want to be able to give inspiration to people that think they can't, you know, explore, but you can.
So I would be safe to say that you're a big supporter of female empowerment.
Yeah. I love women to death. Like, I think we're the greatest, you know, things that were ever invented.
Uh-huh.
We make life. Like, Sam sitting over there with making life. Now, granted,
I'm making an eyeball right now.
Like, literally, I am an advocate for just supporting women because we can literally do anything and everything. And it's been proven within the last, like, couple years with all these movements and marches and things like that. And I just think that we're excellent. So
real quick, before we get into all of that, going back to like you traveling and you like having all these different experiences and whatnot, I think being from the small area that we're from, for you to go against the grain and like just power through and like you don't depend on anyone for anything, it's like really, you're like an icon to most people like from that area. Aww. You know what I mean?
Thank
it's like
you.
We all see Kia like doing all of these things and like going all of these places, Rome, whatever, and I'm like thinking like, holy shit, like I can't do that, like I don't have the money for that. But like to you hear do, you say though, like to sacrifice things, because I'm like, you know what, I just dropped a ton of money on my hair today, like I spend unnecessary money all the time. If I could just chalk that into savings, like maybe I could do that shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like I think you have to change your way of thinking, and like for you it was like, I'm not going to sit back and wait and watch other people travel. Like, I want to do that.
Yeah, because you would see, like, on Instagram, like, all these girls. And I'm a big advocate for, like, I'm a black woman. So I saw all these black girls just, like, traveling and just, like, having jobs and having babies. And I'm just like, well, if she can do it, I can definitely do it. And, like, 2017 was one of the greatest years I've ever had. Like, I went to music festivals. My brother got married in Vegas. And, like, me and Kate pretty much were on a, like, 11-day excursion. Like, Mark got married in Vegas. We came back for, like, 12 hours. And then we went straight to Firefly. Like,
oh, yeah.
We just, like, traveled. I went to Colorado twice and, like, explored, like, Denver. Because, like, my sister's a huge advocate. My nephew, he's special needs. And he has epilepsy. And he has seizures a lot. So we're big advocates for using, like, T THC and CBD mm-hmm. for certain things to help him out in his seizure. So we traveled for that. So like, it's not like I'm going and just like for luxury, I'm going and we're learning the culture.
Exploring.
Like,
yeah.
While I was in Italy, I was learning about the food. I was going to the museums. We weren't just sitting around just like, I'm enjoying like whatever. I wanted to go and learn and see if potentially maybe one day I could be there. You just have to like really just sit down and like plan and like kind of be your biggest critic. And like, I beat myself up a lot. I'm just like, you know what? I really want to go and just splurge and buy a lot of clothes, but roam or buy temporary clothes that somebody might not even see you in.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that makes me think of a book Sam has been wanting us to read. It's called You Are a Badass.
Oh man. Yeah. I love it.
And that just made me think about that, the way you're saying that, you know, it's like, oh, I can't do that. I can't travel or I can't this or that. It's like, you're a badass. Do it.
And that's exactly what that book's about. It tells you, like, you can pretty much do anything you put your mind to. And, like, that nothing's stopping you but you.
Yeah, really. Like, I was always a girl that was just like, okay, I'm just going to get this job. Be in, you know, kind of make my mark and that's it. But I have really great friends. I have super great friends. And I am super independent. I know that I can do everything, like, on my own. But if I didn't have a great set of friends and like a really like dope ass mom, because my mom is literally like, she's everything. Like, she's just like silver and gold to me. So like, if I didn't have her just saying like, oh, so you're gonna give up, okay, well go ahead, like whatever. But then like, my friends are also there to lift me up as well. Yeah. So it's, you're independent, but you also have people like your little guardian angels that are on land that are also like just pushing you to do certain things.
It's the people you know who are gonna like be the anchor in those bad times.
Of course. Yeah. Like, you guys all know that I'm great friends with Kate, and like, she's like one of my biggest like support systems that always have told me like, do this, do that, don't let anybody like, you know, like, so she's one of my main like motivators. The Kaufmans, they're a huge motivation for me. Just like, so yeah, I don't do it alone. Like, you might see me just raising money on my own and doing that kind of thing, but yeah, I wouldn't have self-confidence and determination if it wasn't for my platform of friends. So
that's cool. And so all this traveling and stuff, what brought you back to Pittsburgh?
So DC, like I said, it's very expensive, and being a freelancer, you have your high times and you have your low times. So I, you know, was making great money and very happy and everything. But like I said, you have your highs and lows. And I would come up here and celebrate like every birthday and then come up every holiday and everything. And I would get so sad every time, like more and more every time I would leave. So I would be on the bus ride back or a flight back to DC and just like cry a little bit and be like, oh, I really miss it. Everybody like was moving down here. And like, I didn't live in Pittsburgh as an adult, like ever. Like I, you know, I was up in Kennerdale. So I started to secretly apply for jobs in Pittsburgh and like playing around with it, like back in 2016. But I was like, you know what? I'm in DC. I'm this like Sadiddy girl now. I can go and like eat dinner on a rooftop. I'm not going to Pennsylvania. But I would start coming home like more often, like staying longer and just being like, wow, Pittsburgh has changed. It's like, there's more to do and it's, you know, it's safer. Like, everything's different and there's more jobs. And PNC had a job and I was like, I'm not going to get this senior marketing director. Like, what? So I had applied for it. I didn't hear anything for months. I applied for it in June. And then right in August, they called me back.
Oh, wow. That is a long time.
That's a long time. Yeah. And sooner or later, I found out why it took the process for it to be like that. And during around like Labor Day, I came up and I was really on this horrible contract with this company down in DC, and I was like, please someone save me. And I came for the interview. I interviewed there and at the orchestra, the Pittsburgh Symphony.
Oh, okay.
They needed a social media specialist as well. And literally I interviewed for the job. I'm like, I think I don't have the credentials. I'm too young. Like, everybody there is like, you know, elite. And I walked around at PNC, everybody's like dressed in their business suits, high heels, and I'm like, I'm definitely not gonna get this. But like, you know, positive reinforcement really does work. And I just had a whole bunch of people just like using positive like energy like for me. But even before PNC came into a factor, like Carly was forwarding me jobs and like everybody was like sending me jobs just because
they knew you wanted to just like swing back around. Yeah.
Everybody knew how much I wanted to come home. Like, yeah. I really wanted to come home. And but I went for the interview. As soon as I left, Pittsburgh, they called and was like, can you have a second interview? And I'm like, oh, well, I'm panicking because I'm going back to D.C. So I lied at my job that I had and came back up. I was like, oh, like something's going on and whatever. And then I came back up and got the second interview. They called the next day and was like, okay, when will you be able to start? And I'm like, oh, my God.
So I'm tomorrow.
Just like, yeah, like I'm in D.C., like, in my little, like, you know, space that I had at my uncle's, because I moved back in because I was like, I think I'm going to transition. So, you know, I'm going to move back in with my uncle. And
well, that's nice. You didn't have to worry about a lease or anything.
Nothing. Because I knew, I think, like, the universe was like, this girl is going back home. Like,
yeah.
Like I've been saying, like, every single time I would come and visit, you know, I would just get more and more attached. So I was like, I can start in 2 weeks. Let me just get my life in order. And like, I did, like, my grandma was like, baby, come stay with me. You can come stay in this apartment with me and Marcus and get on your feet and find a place and whatever. Like, my sister was supportive. My brother was supportive. My parents were super supportive of me coming back. And so was my uncle. I mean, he was a little sad because I had been down there for almost 5 years.
Yeah.
And he was just like, Pittsburgh, really? Like, you're going to go back to that? And I was like, hey, I'm getting an opportunity to work for one of a Fortune 500 company, and I might not get this opportunity again.
Now it's on my resume.
Yeah, and it's on my resume. I'm only 27, and I'm a senior marketing director. It's not just like I'm a, you know, intern or just a junior representative. It's senior. Just having that senior just puts me in a category that's just so big. And he's like, you're willing to, like, you know, risk not having your own boss. And that was my main thing. I hated having my own boss. I absolutely hated it. I was like, I'm going to be my own boss, like, whatever. But I needed some little, you know, discipline and some structure. And it's my first, like, big corporate job. And I came up here. I had a trip to Denver. September 24th, we came back. I came to D.C. I came up here with 2 big bags on Greyhound. And here I am.
Here we are.
And I went back, got on my stuff a month later, and I've been here, and I love my job. It's
Are you downtown in the new building?
I'm not in the tower. Not I'm the in new PNC tower? One. But I do go to the tower for meetings and things like that.
I imagine you guys probably walk all over the place for meetings with those all the buildings right there. Yes, because PNC's
like all over the damn place.
And Forner Merck is amazing. Do you eat lunch there?
What is it?
I was telling you guys about this place like 6 podcasts ago. Forner Mercantile. It's like an upscale lunch space in the new tower.
Yeah.
And you pick like your protein and then 2 sides, and then it's like a flat rate. It's amazing.
It's really good.
Like, you, it's like, try good.
I'll have to look it up.
I was gonna meet you there, but I'm like basically in the strip district now, so I don't meet anyone for lunch. But
is it, you're in this, oh yeah, you're way over there.
I'm way at the other end of downtown.
Are you, is that the place that's on the corner with like the weird door, the weird slidey open door that's scary?
No, it's like, so diagonal. It's diagonal of where have Hello Bistro. We always go.
Okay, got it. I think I have been there, but I don't know. No, I don't know. I can't remember.
So yeah, like your whole story of like where you started, where you came from, like, is amazing. And like how you said, like, you always worked all these different jobs, like just to get through. Like, I think a lot of people don't want to work below their pay grade, but like, that's part of it. Like there for a minute when I was only part-time at the law firm, I worked at the beer market. Like, who wants to work at the beer market? No one, you know, like, you just do what you have to do to make ends meet. And then I was a receptionist at a Sports Clips, you know, like, I can talk about it now and laugh, but like, when I was in that job, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, but every other week I got a paycheck and it helped pay my bills. So it's like, you just do the shit that you have to do to make it. And
I was an intern at 25. I interned at Sirius XM at the age of 25, going on 26 almost. So I had to just, because the year of 2015, I had 3 jobs. I worked at this thing called Wigs Plus Vets, and we helped vets get wigs and everything. So like their insurance will pay for it, and we helped build their wigs. And I was like the social media receptionist girl. I interned at Sirius XM and I had a small little part-time job because I like nice things. So, and I have, you know, I have a certain way that I like to live, and I have certain things that I like to buy. So you have to like hustle. And that's my main thing. I'm a hustler. I've always been like that since I was little. Like, it's in my blood. It's distilled in me because my mom has always been very determined and having jobs and not dependent, even though she has a great husband and my stepdad is amazing. He worships the ground my mom walks on, and she doesn't have to, if she didn't want to work, she didn't have to work. But my mom has always told us, like, always have your own money, always do your own thing, like, always have a backup and have a plan B. So I just love money. I love making money, and I love being able to do everything on my own. So
do you have any kind of, like, financial place you visit? Like, anywhere you, like, look for, like, okay, like, this is what I want to do, like, as far as, like, budgeting goes, or advice, or, like, is there
wealth management type?
Yeah, is there anywhere you go online that's, like, your go-to for knowledge on that kind of stuff?
So dating an accountant will really help you.
Ah, okay, got it.
balance things and, like, kind of guilt trip you.
Yeah.
And certain things, not a guilt trip, but a good way, like...
You're like, maybe, you know, I shouldn't be spending money for the fourth night in a row on takeout.
Exactly.
Because my stove doesn't work.
So, you know, you send your budgets in and you just tell them the amount that you make and you have to stick to it. There's sometimes that I would, like, pinch off of certain things, but, like, when you want something really bad and you want to achieve it, you'll sacrifice. Literally, I love going and buying different colored wigs and makeup and all that kind of stuff.
You said that earlier. I thought about your blue one.
Yeah.
I remember the blue one. Yeah.
So you just have to, I just love nice things. I love just going out and eating certain things. But no, you have to, like, budget. So I would send it to him and he would budget it out for me. So
did you learn a lot from that? Just those exercises?
Oh, of course.
I've been listening a lot to Dave Ramsey. He has a podcast. So just listening to him, it's like, okay, I just turned 27. I can easily be debt free by the time I'm 30. Like, and then I could, like, buy a house or something, you know, or a car. I don't know.
Me and Scott took the Dave Ramsey class that they hold in, like, churches and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But we don't know how to sacrifice. So okay, me.
Did it help you learn a lot? Was it cool?
There was a lot of Jesus stuff, which isn't really for me, but
that seems weird from a financial planning class, but
well, Dave Ramsey is Jesus.
They do mention it on a show a lot, but like
I mean they gave you like a protocol and all this stuff that you can follow to get out of debt, and like people do it in like 6 months.
Oh my God, I know.
Like that.
But that's literally like, now that I'm here, okay, like, and I spent a little bit of money to like buy things for the apartment, like a rug, but literally as I'm like using my credit card to like pay for it, I'm like, oh God, Dave Ramsey would hate me.
You're like handshaking.
Yeah, it was like, so it's things like that. Like, that's what I want to get into, because I've been to Mexico like one time, and then we sat at a resort the whole time, which was awesome. It was amazing, but
wedding?
Yeah, that's the one.
With an unnamed ex.
Yeah, it really worked out. Good thing I missed that wedding.
Oh, well, at least you got to go.
Yeah, it was fun, but it's something now. It's like, okay, I want to go overseas. You know, I want to see, at the very least, I want to see, like, England. I want to see Ireland. I'd love to do, because is it Iceland is, like, really cheap now because of WOW Airlines and Pittsburgh Airport?
Yeah, WOW is very, very cheap.
I hear you basically get herded on, like, cattle, but... Whatever
gets
it's you like
there.
A $30 flight, so I'll take it.
Yeah, pretty much they charge you like per luggage, per pound, per you.
Per breath. On the scale.
Yeah,
and then
pretty much.
Like, on the plane. That's somebody was asking about that. I was like, yeah, I heard that they just like blow a whistle and you have to like run onto the plane. And then basically that's
like
how you have to get off.
Allegiant. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Oh, I flew Frontier one time. That was a nightmare.
Spirit. Never again. My knees were up to my boobs and it was just.
I think they call that ass to ankles.
Pretty much. And like Kate was all comfortable with her little legs. And then I'm just like just struggling and all burnt out from Vegas.
Yeah, Kate's like, probably like, this is the roomiest plane I've ever been
pretty
on.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I was struggling. It was
hold on, I gotta unlock
my iPad.
Yeah,
that's why I like Southwest, because you can go straight to the emergency exit aisles.
Mm-hmm.
I like have to have an emergency exit aisle.
Yeah,
which is where I met Airplane Adam. But that's
Airplane
Adam, that's a whole nother story.
What chapter of the book is he?
He doesn't get a chapter.
Oh.
he's a sub chapter of
he's like an assorted musing.
Chicago.
Oh, okay,
yeah. So anyway,
but I was gonna ask next about just our whole spiel, like fitness, mental health. Like, what do you, from a fitness perspective, like, what do you do anything? Do you
So I really like yoga. I got into yoga. I was going to Haunt Yoga in DC, which was like, I'm very spiritual. I'm about the universe. Like everything in the past like couple years when you have struggled, you lost people abruptly and a lot of like bad energy was around you. So you eliminate certain things. You're appreciative. You're more appreciative. And the older that I get, I'm more appreciative of just like waking up every morning and just thanking the universe like, shit, I'm here another day. So, like, I really got into, like...
Shit, I'm here another day.
So, I got into, like, yoga. And hot yoga was the most enlightening thing I've ever done in my life. And when I was dating down in D.C., my boyfriend Cameron...
Did you think what I thought, Carly? Dating down, like... Like below your pay grade.
No. Because he's probably going to listen to this. You're not below my pay grade, Cam. Sorry.
Just the way you said it, I was like, it's kind of funny.
But yeah, so we would try new things because I do suffer from depression. So keeping me active and busy and just like hyped is like something that keeps me motivated. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm all about staying healthy because my dad died in 2011 abruptly, just suddenly have a heart attack, and that runs in the course of my family. So I was just like, I need to change what I'm doing. And up in Edinburgh, I was just like doing things I didn't need to do and like drinking myself to death. So I still drink. I still, you know, occasionally party like here and there, but I'm not doing it as much as I was at Edinburgh. I was a sloppy mess.
Mm-hmm.
So, so I changed things around with like my eating habits and just like everything. And when you cut out certain things and, you know, you can gift yourself with certain things, but when you cut out certain things, you wake up a little bit. So I started doing like hot yoga, and we would try something every month. We would get on Groupon and be like, what are we going to do? Like,
ooh, yeah,
let's try this. So we got into like the off brand of CrossFit, which was Soldier Fit, which I was just like, I am not used to like getting yelled at, and I'm not doing a burpee. I'd rather jump off a bridge a million times than to do a burpee. I will not do it.
Retweet.
So
I fucking hate burpees.
I literally got into yoga, and it just like enlightened me and like centered me. So I do yoga, but since I've been to Pittsburgh, I've been like going around asking everybody, because I remember asking you, I was like, I literally asked Jenny, I was like, so what does everybody pay for like their trainers or gyms? Like, I'm trying to stay like on a thin budget here.
Yeah,
I'm certain things
trying to travel.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm just trying to fit in like where I, you know, try to see where I like fit in at and everything. So, but my main exercise is mental health, like,
yeah,
is keeping me like sane, because like being, you know, independent, like technically a single woman doing everything on my own, like it could really, you know, mess you up.
Yeah,
because sometimes you feel like you're alone, you feel like you don't have help, and even if I had like a million husbands, sometimes that you could feel alone and, you know, doing whatever.
Yeah,
so my mental health comes first. I'm a big advocate for mental health. Like, I will have people like people reach out to me on Facebook. I'll ask how your mental health is doing. Like, I don't know if you saw the Dora Explorer one that I posted. I was like, hey, how's your mental health today? Like, I'll put like a
funny like picture
like up on Facebook, and people will reach out to me because, you know, you're not really alone. So I want people to feel like safe to come to me and like talk about certain things, because I've been at my lowest where like I didn't want to like be here. So, you know,
yeah,
mental health is number one, because how can you like work out if you're like all sad? And
well, that's how I feel now, just because of all this moving and stuff, so much stress. I haven't worked out, and I know just for me that working out's going to give me like endorphins, you know, and at least make me feel a little bit better, but I haven't, you know, it's so hard. But right down the street now where I've moved, there's hot yoga right down the street. And I didn't even think about Groupon. I need to do that. I need to look up Groupon and see if I can go there.
Yes, do it. And hot yoga,
'cause I love,
is the best.
It's very relaxing to do yoga, because we used to do it in Point State Park.
Yeah.
During the summer at lunchtime, it was like, I'm not looking at a fucking computer screen.
Well,
like,
I think there's this thing called ClassPass, maybe. I don't know. Kelly, our friend Kelly, uses it. And I think when you download it, you get like 5 free class credits to different
places around the city. And see if they're on there, the hot yoga place.
Yeah, just check it out. I think maybe like Orange Theory's on there, and then a couple spinning studios. But that's one option to just kind of expand.
Some 5 free classes at the very least.
Yeah, at the very least. You can at least test it out. I'm not exactly positive it's called ClassPass, but I'll find out.
We'll look it up.
That's right.
Yeah.
It rhymes, so yeah. Whatever. Yeah, like with the whole mental health and like working out thing, like I use Selly's as like my form of rehab now, so mm-hmm. it like gives me something to look forward to every day. And like, yeah, there are dark days, but like as long as I'm going, like I feel better mentally and physically.
Well, I get,
because of it,
I get worried too about, you were saying about in Edinburgh and being sloppy and drinking and stuff, mm-hmm. like just the alcohol related problems that run in my family tree. It's like, okay, so like on some level that's inside of me too. So it's like, just like when I go to talk to my therapist, I talk a lot about you, Carly, and sobriety, just because it's like, I think about it a lot and it's like, I want to be better, but like, but I haven't stopped drinking at all, you know? So it's just like, and then I get in the internal fight, like, do I really need to, you know? And it's just those little things. It's like interesting to work over in your head sometimes.
Yeah. Like I'm still a drinker, like, but I'm not like a person that goes out like every single weekend. Mm-hmm. It all depends on who you are.
Exactly.
It really does. Like if you have a problem with it and you see your problem, stop your problem.
Yeah.
But if you want to go and like have a good time occasionally and do what you want to do, then do it at moderation. You know, if you can afford it, if that's in your budget, if you want to do that, go ahead. I'm not a huge, like, I indulge in other things. So I'm a very big advocate for other
things,
you know, medical things. And, you know, that's what I like to do. But if you can control whatever you do in your spare time, then control it. But if you do have a problem, go seek the help, because I mean, do what you have to do. But if you can control it and still have fun, do it. Who cares?
Yeah.
But if you're out and like spending all your money up and you have nowhere to go, then seek help. But go have fun.
When it's like, go back to what you said. It's like you have to be not broke to yourself.
Exactly.
You can be broke to other people all you want, but not yourself. You know, so it's like, take care of yourself. Shore up the foundation first, you know, of yourself.
Exactly.
And then you can share that with other people. You know, that.
Yeah, and on
is that,
that
a good way to look at it? I don't know.
I mean, my issue with drinking was that I felt like I was like living a lie to my like professional world.
Self?
I was like trying to be like this like professional paralegal and like act like I was like so smart and doing all this shit, and then like I hated my job and I would just get like blackout drunk on a Tuesday for the hell of it, and it was like, what the fuck are you doing? And then it was also, it tied into my relationship. Like, my relationship was failing, and like my relationships with my friends and family were like on the back burner. And I was a mentor, and it's like, why would I mentor high school, like a high school student, and tell her to like really put herself out there and like go after what she wants and like just stick to a straight and narrow path when I was like all over the place,
almost
so,
behaving like exactly opposite.
Yeah,
of your
and
words,
so then I was like I was all wrapped up in what other people thought of me, which isn't a way that you should live your life. But I wasn't proud of the life I was living, so like that's where I started and why I quit drinking.
But, it's cool. It's interesting. Yeah,
it's a whole nother
discussion.
But. No, I don't. I don't look down on people that drink. I mean, everyone in my life drinks, but me and Lauren, I think. So my cousin Lauren, but I'm just struggling over here with my gallon of water.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to
try to help you. I wanted some, so
I'll give you some in a minute. Yeah. But I mean,
thirsty over here.
And like you said, Tanner, it runs in the family. Like almost everyone in my family drinks. I mean, I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus, but. I saw that. I think I brought it up on another podcast. I don't think it's a meme, but it's like a thing on social media that says like these two kids were raised by an alcoholic father, and like one of them became an alcoholic, and the other one like never drank in their life. And it's all about like perspective and how you view things like that. So I just didn't want to. I guess
your perspective was the one side, the flip side, one side of the coin. You
yeah.
know? It's like, okay.
Well, for half my life, it was the other side. The other side. So, it's just all about how you want to live your life, I guess.
And but. Living in your means, pretty much. And just not going overindulging. You know, everybody's, like, down for a good time. It's great to celebrate, but, like, don't sacrifice too much to, like, go out and do things that you can't afford and everything. So that's how I look at it sometimes.
Well, that's... It's like your own independence, you know, and that's like, so now I'm really close to the bars. So like a part of me was really worried about that, because it's like now I'm literally within walking distance versus I had to get in a car before and like be prepared. And but now it's, I'm hoping that because it's so close, maybe, you know, it's like I can easily walk down, but I can also easily get away from it, you know?
Exactly. It's just like I'm in Mount Washington. There's a bar right down the street, but like I've never been like a huge like drinker. It's all about like self-control and everything. And I love wine. I love, you know, going out and having a great time and like living my best life. I'm all for it. And I'm not against anyone like drinking, but like I said, if it goes overboard, then maybe like, you know, just calm it down a little bit. But if you want to go and live your life that way, like then live your life that way. Just, you know, there's going to be repercussions for certain things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
don't look down on anybody that likes to go and have a, you know, good time. And I'm glad Carly said that, like, you know, you don't look down on, you know, some people, because, you know, some people can, you know, change their lifestyles drastically and like look down and be like, these heathens are out here drinking and doing whatever they you're wanting to do. But like sometimes it also can be like an inspiration, just like you said with like Lauren. Like she literally is like one of the greatest like inspirations out there. She's like going to school full time. Mm-hmm. She works full time and part time. So like, you know, you can see positives and negatives in certain things. So.
And if you want to know more about Lauren, you can listen to our second episode.
Yeah, it was our second episode.
We'll put a link in the show notes for that.
And the way that I post on social media and I like talk about being sober, like it's never my intention to see like to seem like I'm looking down on people that still do like get blackout drunk. But it's just tough for me to like go out and witness it, I guess. Because I'm a very addictive person, so. Like I was like legitimately addicted to like raging. Like I didn't want to go out and like casually like sip like a beer or sip wine.
Little
I
Pinot was Grigio.
Like chugging. I was slamming shots. Like I was like, let's fucking go. Let's rage.
I remember. I remember 7 nights going out with you. Like nobody wanted to drink, and you'd buy like an entire bar's worth of shots.
Yeah. It was just. I was like the hype. Like let's party all the time, and it was a huge waste of money. So now I have all this like extra money, and I spend it on powerlifting. So it's like my whole. Mind has shifted, but like going out for Jenny's birthday, I wrote a blog about how like while I was there my mind was racing the entire time, not because I wasn't having fun, but just because I like couldn't wait to get home, you know, like I was like I don't want to be here. Like I was having fun and like I'm glad I got to see everyone, but
was it the atmosphere, like the atmosphere of the bar, like because was that like one of the first times you went out like late at night kind of bar thing?
I mean, I was out for John's birthday till 2. I forgot about that. But I was drinking Red Bull and like my thing was like Chris was super drunk. So I was like, get me the fuck out of here. Like I need to just be in my bed. Like,
But do you think when you progress like further in your recovery, I don't know how you would say it in that aspect, because I mean, Lauren stayed out that whole entire night and she's been clean for a very, very long time. Do you think once you're in a better mindset, then you'll be able to be comfortable with it? Because just like we went out like last night and I had literally like a cocktail because I'm prestige and I felt like I was in New York City for the night.
Speaking of, I saw you were a Tequila Cowboy and I want to hear your thoughts on on what you think of that bar, because I texted Jenny about it today.
I want a link to that video. Hold on.
Oh my God. Like, shout out to Kelly Fair, it was her birthday. And Jenny had asked, because I just went out to dinner with her and Jake. We went and had dinner, and they're on a thing where they don't drink or eat certain things for like 30 days. So that's awesome. And she said something about Tequila Cowboy, and I don't know what that is. Like, I had no clue. And I was literally overwhelmed. I'm shooketh. never ever want to go back there. I wouldn't go there if somebody was like, yeah, Key, I'll pay for your drinks all night. Like,
it's a free ride isn't here, even
free
worth
ride.
It.
Like, we can, I would never go. Like, it's 4 clubs in one, and it's just the.
And the only way from club to club are scary back halls.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a fire hazard, like, waiting to happen. I hate that place.
Yeah.
And every time I've been there, I'm just standing. Like, I haven't. The only times I've been there have been since I've gotten sober. So
I was sober.
It wasn't open.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking, like, if I was still drinking and I went there, like, maybe I might have a little bit of fun. But, like, the last time I was there, someone threw up on the ground and I was, like, walking through it. And I'm like, it's just a disaster. And it's.
That made me clench up.
I was welcomed by line dancing. Everybody was just line. I was just like, where the am I? First of all.
I love your video. You're like, oh my God.
Like literally, what are you doing? On my Snapchat, I like recorded all like my reactions. You walk through, everybody's line dancing. There's a mechanical bull and there's just people just raging. I'm just like, am I getting old? Am I not a partier anymore? Like what is going on?
Andy Smith rode that bull the last time I was there.
Oh Lord.
I can imagine.
Oh, God love him. But then you walk in and then like there's like a hip hop like karaoke. So it's just all these people just like pretending to sing the hip hop songs. I was just like, I need the F out. They're like, oh, but wait, there's more. And I'm just like, there's more. So I get a water and like the people at the bar were just like, you're drinking water? Like, no, none of us were like drinking anything. We literally wanted to like show our like respects to Kelly, like, you know, and bounce. But
respect, it's like she's died inside of Tequila Cowboy.
But they're like, there's a 90s part. So I'm thinking like the room's going to be like super little, like the it's full on Miami in there. Like literally they're playing like Baby Got Back and I'm like, am I supposed to be drunk?
Where's the 90s part?
When you first walk in, it's the country achy breaky like heart main part.
Tequila Cowboy with a really
good part. Yeah, when you first walk into the like the first entrance, then you go into the 90s karaoke part where it's like a little bit smaller.
Okay.
Then there's this little like gnome like trail that you have to like walk through.
Is that to get to the red Cadillac part?
The red Corvette.
Red Corvette, yeah.
I've never been in that piece.
It's right by where the deck is, kind of where you can like exit. Like it's another emergency like exit. And I thought I was in Miami. There was people dancing on the stage. Like there was just like girls with like 21-year-old sashes. And I'm just like, I'm more of a like nice little dive bar or like,
yes,
you know, a nice, like I'm used to I'm clubbed out because of DC. So like,
well, if I can't talk to people, I'm like, I fucking hate this place.
Me and Kate, we thought we were so old. We're like, I can't hear you. And we were like, just like screaming at each other's ears. Like Jenny's just like, I'm like screaming at Jenny to like try to talk to her. Like I literally was like, is it my age showing? Should I be here? People are like lifting up their shirts. There's just drinks everywhere. There was like line dance. Answers like mixing it with the 90s music. I was like, I have to get out of here. I'm gonna have a nervous breakdown. So like we like left and everything. I was like, I'm more of a like calm, chill, like bar kind of like,
yeah, that
might play some turn up music, and I can't. And
plus, like on a Saturday, you know, might
play some turn-up like music. I was like, and I don't feel like dealing with that. It was just terrible.
It didn't look. From the two videos I saw, it was like,
they didn't get any money out of me. I drank water. I was like, just sipping water. And I was like, you're not getting a dime out of this corn purse. So I'm like, we're not
broke
doing
to
that.
Everybody else, but exactly. Not myself. All right, how do you guys feel? Have we covered it all?
Yeah, I mean, the last piece that I had was like on the feminism. We kind of started into like feminism, female empowerment, and then diverted back, but with the whole Me Too movement on social media, like, I know we don't want to get, like, too dark into sexual harassment, but, like, personally, I feel like everyone I know has been sexually harassed in some way. So, like, for that Me Too movement to take off like it did, like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's great. I think that, you know, it's a great perspective, and I just feel so bad for women that couldn't have, you know, spoke out sooner. And everything. I've been in positions like that. I've been in the body that I'm in since I was 13 years old. I've looked this way since I was built this way, like a brick house, since I was 13. So having men that were literally like my grandfather's age would like hit on me and things like that. So I really appreciate the women coming out and like standing ground, because it's about damn time, because it's just horrible. And I would call myself a feminist. Like I said earlier, like I literally love women. Like I love everything that we do. I love just waking up being a woman. So I think it's a great aspect. And yeah, I just think that more women should speak up. I want to rally more. I want to have the same opportunities. And me or Kate were talking about like equal pay, and somebody had said on Facebook that like we need to shut up about having equal pay. Mm-hmm. And we do.
Don't even tell
me
who.
We don't need to shut up. We do need to have equal pay. Mm-hmm. And we do need to like start screaming and shouting. Just like I talk about Black rights and things like that, I'm going to fight for women. I'll literally fight to the death to fight for a woman so we can have equality.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, I'm all for it. I'm all about being independent. I'm all for saying, like, you don't need a man to survive. You really don't. It's beautiful. Love is beautiful. Love is kind, all that kind of stuff. It's great. It's the most magical thing that you can go through, but you can survive on your own.
Yeah.
Like, if you're being treated like shit, then you're going to invite that negativity in your life. So if you're going to allow certain people to treat you a certain way and you're going to keep it taking that abuse and, you know, things like that, then hey, that's your decision. But I think that every woman's strong enough to just be able to survive on your own. And if you do find like love, that's great, because I found it a million times over, and like I just think it's awesome. But just know that like at the end of the day, you like have yourself. You can survive by yourself.
You can always come home.
Yeah, you can always come home to yourself, you know. And we do have a married couple in here. Sorry. I know y'all guys love you all pregnant and whatnot and glowing. But I just like, I'm just a huge advocate for people like, well, women just like supporting themselves and like branding themselves and hyping themselves up. And yeah, maybe because like I come from just a long line of just badass women. Like my grandmother raised 4 kids like on her own. And my grandma Susie raised 10. And my mom, before my stepdad, she was a single mom of just like 2, and we like lived in this like apartment together. My mom was like going to school and like working and like on her own, and then her knight in shining armor came. But even if Albert didn't come, my mom would still be the badass bitch that she is today.
Yeah.
So like, and my mom's always been an advocate for just saying like, go ahead, find the love of your life and things like that, but just know that you don't have to tolerate things that men do. Like, I'm never going to tolerate cheating. I'm never going to tolerate a man backtalking me or telling me I can't do certain things. I'm not going to do that. I'm just like, I'm not going to, you know, conform to being like, I'm a curvy girl, and I'm a huge advocate for just being in the body that you're in. Like, you have 2 options. Either you're going to change it, or you're going to stick with God gave you, like, that's it. Or the universe gave you. But like, that's it.
There are 2 outcomes here. You know, what are you going to do about it?
Don't sit and complain about it. Change it. And if you like the way, like, I love my body, but I know that I have room for improvement. So that's why, like, I eat healthier things. Like, I don't go out as much and things like that. I stay to myself. I'll ghost you in a couple seconds just to improve myself. So it's just like, just stay empowered and like eliminate pretty much. To round this up, eliminate anybody in your life that's not going to build you up. If they're not hyping you up for your brand, if they're not going to support you, if they're not happy with what the skin that you're in or anything that you're doing, eliminate them right the fuck now.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, because they're not going to help you in any kind of way. They're not going to lift you. So I just want positive energy. If you're bringing negativity in my life, I'm going to, you know, escort you out.
Exactly.
Physically, mentally, spiritually. So...
Yeah, awesome. I mean, I hear a lot of people back on the whole like equal pay thing. Like, a lot of people will be like, well, give me an example of how like you personally are experiencing that. And I'm like, in that same realm, a lot of people don't understand the whole Planned Parenthood thing and whatnot, mm-hmm. and the women's marches. Like, what are the marches doing? And what people don't understand is that people are marching in those, not for themselves, but for like the women that can't speak up for themselves.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And like, that's the biggest piece I've found, and the biggest divide from like some of the people back home to Pittsburgh, where like they just don't get it, you know? Like,
and that's okay, because like, you guys are friends with me on Facebook. I would sit there and fight back and forth, and it's just everybody's up to their own values. If you want to go and have a million babies, that I love that, because you're a woman and you can do that. But if it's other women's choices that they don't want to do that, don't bring them down like for that. Let us have our own opinion and let us do what we want to do, because at the end of the day, we're still a woman, regardless if you have a baby, regardless if you get married, regardless if, you know, if you're gay or straight, you're at the end of the day, you're still a female. Mm-hmm. And we should uplift each other, not tear each other down. Because I mean, what's the purpose? Like, mm-hmm. what's the point of just tearing down another woman? We're in the same boat here, honey. So like, I never understood that, but I'm for whatever you want to do as a woman, as long as you're not trying to tear me down for what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think as far as like gay rights are concerned too, it's all about the advocates, you know. Mm-hmm. Gay people can be loud and noisy and stuff, but it always helps when you have more people to add to the fight, you know? So it's like to your point, you know, the people on the sidelines are the people that are going to help too, you know. There's it's a group effort, you know.
I just never thought in a million years I would be marching in like 2018. over things. That's crazy, but I'll continue.
Real quick, big advocate of Planned Parenthood here. I see a lot of shit on Twitter, and it's actually forced me to unfollow a bunch of people, like, out of sight, out of mind. I don't want to follow these idiots. But anyway, last time I went to Planned Parenthood, I literally got an STD test, and that was it. Like, God, I didn't go in there and get an abortion, so... They're doing huge things for everyone.
Oh, just is even on the level of education, you know, not even testing stuff like that. You can go in and learn a lot too. You know,
you might not even be for it because there's certain things that I'm not for, but I still educate myself on it. Just learn why these women are doing certain things.
Exactly.
Learn about why a woman wants to have a baby. Learn about why a woman didn't keep her baby. Learn both sides of it. I'm not going to hate you because you got an abortion and like maybe somebody wanted to get an adoption. Maybe you didn't want to put your body like through those certain things.
Yeah.
So my main thing is just learn what you disagree with. And I've been doing that since 2016 November. I've been learning. I've been learning and learning other people's sides of the story. So just be open-minded and just like learn the facts. Just don't be ignorant to it and just like disagree immediately.
I 100% learn. Agree with that. Like don't just follow your like thought path. Like you have to reach out and look at what other people are thinking exactly. to see why something's going on.
When especially like I remember I was like just holding like a lot of like animosity like towards like people who I didn't agree with, and so like now finally it's just like okay, like I need to like stop that and I can understand why they did what they did from their perspective. And so it's like, okay, so now where can we make the connections? Like I might not change their mind, but maybe I'll make them look at something different, you know? So it's trying to do that. And then especially when you have somebody who's not willing to have a conversation, okay, I'll talk to you later. Like, okay. Now's like, not the time apparently. Yeah.
There's no need to stress over it. So just to conclude what you were saying about the Me Too thing, it's just like, I've been a victim of certain things too. And I think it's just wonderful. I think it's a great thing that women are finally standing up and, you know, saying that this happened to me and this happened to me. And it's also influencing other little girls that are going through it right now mm-hmm. to not be quiet. And you shouldn't be quiet. Like if somebody is harming you in any way, I don't care if it's just like, you know, vocally or, you know, mentally to, you know, say that, but just speak up. 'Cause I did.
Yeah.
I said something quickly, you know, defend yourself, because if it keeps going on, it's just going to click into the mental mm-hmm. health, and you don't want to have to like go through all that. It's just worse to keep that all bottled in.
There's power in numbers.
And even at the same time, like speak up and don't be afraid to speak up and stand your ground, because I don't know if you've all seen in the news probably, but most recently, a porn star, I'm not going to name names and I'm not going to name his name, but she came forward about a story against a certain someone that's in power and a lot of power in the United States and
like most told her the pinnacle of power
and told her story, and now she came out again and said it was all a lie. So like
what?
That alone shows that people in power abuse that power. So it's like if you have a story, just come forward, tell it. I mean, this past week I don't know if any of you saw the Deadspin article on DK Pittsburgh Sports, but did you see that, Scott? It was basically about how DK was like a bad boss, but one girl like felt like he propositioned her through a text message over a threesome and whatnot, told her story, and was just getting eaten alive in the mentions on Twitter. And it's like, that shouldn't happen. Like, you should be able to come forward and not feel like you're going to get attacked. And that's why so many girls don't come forward.
Well, instead of talking about it, they're just reacting to it. You know, mm-hmm. Here's my opinion.
There's no way. Like, where are the, all want like concrete evidence. Like, where are the text messages? And she's like, it was 5 years ago. Like, I don't have those screenshots. Like, she shouldn't have to build a case based on something that happened to her. And that's what everyone's afraid of. That's why no one's coming forward. But I think this Me Too movement is a platform that women can come forward. So hopefully.
Well, that's last year the guy threatened to rip my face off. I told everyone, like, avoid him.
I was literally in talks with one of my attorneys to get this guy, like, put away. I was like, listen, Carly's, I will fight to the teeth. Yeah. Like, I was ready to kill this guy.
Carly's, like, texting me, like legal advice in the middle of the day. Like, yeah.
There was no way that kid was coming out on top. But
wow.
Just this past week, I found amidst some creeping on Instagram, a screenshot from the same guy to some girl I don't even know. And I sent it to Tanner. Yeah. I was like, look, this guy's just a psycho. Like, that's literally all it comes down to, is he's an absolute psycho.
Which, wow. I mean, it's not that I doubted it or anything. I was like, okay, obviously he's a psycho, the way he acted. But that's the first time I've ever seen him act like a psycho to somebody else that wasn't me. So it's like...
Yeah. Wow.
You know, it's like, okay.
That was the, like, I'm level not crazy. Of crazy. Like, my blood was boiling over that. Like, first of all, no one fucks with Tanner Rose and gets away with it.
Exactly.
Second of all, like, it was just so disheartening for anyone to act that way towards Tanner. I mean, for anyone to act that way towards anyone, but, like, Tanner is an angel sent straight from heaven, and he needs to be kept in a special...
I'm a glass house.
Delicate little flower.
a delicate little rose. So I was just, like... I wanted to, like, kill
like Beauty
man,
and the Beast. I'm in, like, a little crystalline vase.
Protected. And it was all over, like, being salty that Tanner... What, you didn't want to date him or something?
We spent 2 weeks together, and so then he asked me to reimburse him for the one date.
Oh, yes! God. Yeah. Yes!
It's all coming back to me now.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, I have them. I still have the text messages because my legal liaison told me to print everything out. So exactly. I contacted
Venmo because he was sending Tanner Venmo like pay requests. Like, yeah. You owe me this.
You
for
owe
this.
Me this
like,
amount you... of money.
And I contacted Venmo. I'm like, listen, is there any way that like he can force Tanner to pay him or something? Or like, is there a way Tanner can block him? And they were like, don't worry, it's handled. Like, we're not going to let this guy do anything. I'm like, thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
So, anyway.
Fun stuff.
People are crazy.
No.
Moral of the story. So, Kia, do you have anything else for us?
Anything to add for the good of the group?
So, you guys can follow me on Instagram. It's Miss Kia, MissKeea. And I post, like, a lot of empowerment things and little, like, funny things because I'm, like, a part-time, like... bathroom comedian.
She's a great Instagram. She has a great Instagram bathroom account.
Oh my god, so. I'm in love with the things you're sharing on Facebook meme wise.
Oh yeah,
from I've like been, petty mayonnaise good. And yeah. What's the other one? I forget what the other one
probably
is.
Just from my brain.
Yeah.
But
oh, they're hilarious.
Soon, I am coming out with like a empowerment for big girls, but also like an empowerment just for like women, just a safe space because a lot of people have been reaching out, just like. A lot of us are stressed the hell out. And I realized that the other night. So I'm just trying to make a safe space for people to come to and, talk to me if you need to, vent, post pictures, do whatever you want to. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Just make sure everything in the brand is Miss Kia. Again, it's MissKeea. And I'm
we'll
on
put
all
you
platforms.
We'll make sure you're in the show notes too, so that way you're part of that.
Yeah, so
linked,
thanks for having
as
me.
It were.
I feel
well, thank you for coming
talking
and talking
about
to us.
Like how much I've trying to empower people and women.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I thought that was great. One of our best podcasts to date.
I liked it. I just liked the discussion. It was like, some fun discussion.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, thank you guys for listening. As always, bye.
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 Bye. Somebody want to say bye again?